But you got to speak those things that be not as though they are. You don't deny that they exist. You speak them in faith, but you deny them their right to exist. The reason, you know, I heard a preacher say, it may have been Brother Shambach. He was talking about a woman came up to him and he said, "I want you to pray for my husband that God will save him." And he asked her, he said, "Woman, why should I pray for your husband? I don't even know him." He said, "Have you prayed for him today?" She said, "Well, no, but you're a man of God." Isn't that the way people, a lot of people do? Yeah, you're the pastor. You're supposed to do the praying. Well, I don't know where they got any scripture for it like that. I don't see it. The Bible says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved and your household. Pastor's household's already saved. Amen? So who's going to pray for the salvation of your household if you don't? And he looked at the woman and said, "You're asking me to do something that you haven't even done today? You're wanting me to pray for somebody I don't even know?" He said, "I'm not going to do it, woman. If you really cared about this, you go home, you fast, you pray for the salvation of your husband." You see, sometimes we get things where we're waiting for somebody else to do the work. And we look at the situation and we see the tree. And we see what they're doing and the situation looks so bad. And there's the tree and here's the word of God. And you're wondering, "Well, I know God's word says he'll do this, but look at that. Look at that situation. It's you're judging God's word by what you see. Judging God's word by your situation. And you're just like Eve when you do that. Abraham, the Bible said, he called those things that be not as though they were. He went looking for a city. Now, I don't know how he knew about a city, but he knew about a city. I believe he probably had a vision of it. If he didn't, God told him about it. Either way, he knew a little something about it because the city he was looking for is kind of like the same one described in the book of Revelation in the New Jerusalem. Now get this, he was a nomad walking around with tents, living in tents, pulling up stakes, that's where the term came from. You pull up your tent stakes and move on. Pulling up stakes, going on a little while, driving the stakes back in the ground, stretching the tent, setting it up. But he had in his mind, he had in his heart something that God told him, something that God showed him. The Bible said he looked for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. Now that's got to be something to a nomad that don't know anything but tent living. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Abraham never did see it while he was on this earth. But he died believing that somewhere out there, there was a city that was built by God. Amen. And had foundations, and someday he was going to see it. Now, can I tell you something? He didn't see it when he died either. You know that? No, he still didn't. He didn't get to see it for another 1,500 years until Jesus came along, conquered the power of death, hell, and the grave, and then took all of those people that Satan had held against their will and liberated them and took them to heaven. And then finally, Abraham got to see that city. But he died in the faith looking for it. There's a lot of things I'm believing God for, and I'll tell you the truth. I don't think it's being dishonest or it's being a lack of faith, saying some of them I don't think are going to be fulfilled in my lifetime. But I'm going to be like Abraham, dying in the faith, but knowing it's coming. And there are some things I'm sure God's going to do for me in my lifetime. But he won't if I look at the tree and doubt his word. Hallelujah. He looked for a city. Now, the New Testament writers were nice to Abraham, people. They were. They were real nice to him. They call him the father of our faith. They kind of like to overlook some of the things, but there was a time when Abraham looked at the tree and doubted the word of God. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. You know what Abraham's tree was? Abraham's tree was his old wife. Now, he could really call, you know, I don't like to hear somebody call their wife an old woman, but if anybody could call their wife an old woman, Abraham could. And God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Looked at that old woman and said, I don't see how. And the more he thought about it, he began to say, well, now wait a minute. Let me interpret what God said. You know, people like to pick apart the word of God. He said, God said, I'm going to have a son. God didn't tell me who the mother's going to be. So I get me a young woman, and I'll help God fulfill his promise in my life. So Abraham's tree became Sarah. And sure enough, he goes to gets Hagar, Sarah's maid, has a child by. He gets another word from the Lord. Thank God for those words from the Lord. Abraham, God says, you tried to help me, but I didn't need any help. If you'd have took my word, instead of looking at the tree, I could have fulfilled it for you. But this time he let Abraham know. God's spelled it out for him. God said, you're going to have another son. This one's not the son I've promised you about. This one's after the flesh. The next one's going to be after the promise. After faith. Faith child. And he said, you know what, Abraham? You're going to be the father, but Sarah's going to be the mother. And there's Abraham looking at that old tree again. Got that same, it's worse now. It's 10, 15 years later, about 12 years later. And that tree hadn't gotten any younger. And here he is. But this time, the Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. You see, the New Testament writers, the reason I say they were kind to Abraham is because they overlooked the shortcomings the first time. Abraham reminds me a little bit of me. You know, if at first you don't succeed, you're about average. A lot of things I've tried and didn't make a very good run at the first time, but the second time around, you know how to do it a little better. Try to go up a hill one time, you know. You get up there and you lose your momentum. You back up. You know, you got to hit it just a little bit harder this time if you want that momentum to carry you on over to the top. So this time, Abraham said, I'm going to stand on the word of God. And he didn't let that old woman become his tree this time. Stand between him. What's your tree tonight? What is it that you're looking at and you're saying, I know God's word said this, but here's my hindrance. Here's my hindrance. And every time you get to thinking about what God's going to do for you in your life, the devil comes up and says, look at that tree. That tree's good, ain't it? It got some good fruit on it. Why don't you sample that tree? Of course, you know sampling that tree means giving up God's word. And you know, the devil has nothing new. I've said it so many times. He ain't got nothing new to offer. Same old dog, puts him in a new dog house, different dog house, calls him by a different name, but he's still a dog. Has nothing new to offer. But Abraham looked at God the second time. We don't deny things that exist. We just deny them their right to exist. The tree looked good. The tree looked pleasant. It had some fruit on it. I don't see any fruit on this one. Twice. Maybe it's one of them twice dead plucked up by the roots. But the tree looked good and pleasing to the eyes. A lot of people like that. They come to a fork in the road. Somebody said, I've come to a fork in the road. I say, take it. Which way? They take one. I can't direct your lives for you. But, you know, it's kind of amusing. But when people say, I've come to a fork in the road, what am I going to do? I said, take it. That puts the responsibility right back on them, right? But when we begin to look at things, it's easier to deal with tangible things than with abstract things. Tangible things that we can see, we can get a hold of, we can have faith and confidence in them. But things that we can't see that we have to take by the Word of God and come out of the heart gets to be just a little bit, it separates us, doesn't it? Let's us see where we stand. Faith is not dependent on concrete things. It springs from the heart without anything to support it except to say, God's Word said it, and I believe it, and I'm going to act upon it. The Bible said their eyes were open. Now, before they knew mentally, but now they knew experientially. They had experienced it, and they got a real eye-opener. It wasn't at all what they thought they were going to experience. There's a lot of things I've heard about how it is, and I know mentally how things are like. But to experience them would be something else. And that's what Adam and Eve did. Now their eyes were open, but it wasn't, they didn't get what they had expected. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, to know, he said, you eat off of that fruit, you'll have the ability to know good and evil. Up to this point, they only had the ability, the capability to know good. They had no capacity to know evil, not until they ate of the tree and their eyes were opened. Why, and I'll guarantee you when it's all over with, you're going to say, why didn't I believe God's word? The tree becomes a stumbling block when we compare it to the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of people looking at their situations and they're wondering. I know through the Spirit. And see, I can't embarrass anybody by this because some things the Lord will tell you and sometimes He'll tell you who's doing it. This time I just sense it that there's people in this congregation, in this church, and they're hearing people talk about the blessings of God and the year of Jubilee, and they're thinking in their heart, when is my Jubilee going to come? I don't know who's doing it, but some people are wondering that. Can I tell you something tonight? And maybe this will help you. You haven't lost out yet on Jubilee. In fact, it hasn't started yet. I'll show you by the Word of God after a while when it starts. But God's trying to get us ready for it. It's not going to do a bit of good for the year of Jubilee to be fully come and we're not ready to receive the promised blessing, the commanded blessing, if we're not ready to receive it, is it? If we've got some tree hindering us from getting right to God. See, it's kind of like this. We're in the year of Jubilee, but not the season yet. It's kind of like our 25th anniversary lasted 2 years. We celebrated it for 2 years because that's a highlight. The day of our 24th anniversary, I guarantee you, the very next day, we were looking forward to our 25th. In fact, Mama even said to me, she said, you know, if we can just make it one more year, it'll be our silver anniversary. And for a whole year, we celebrated 25 years looking forward to it. Hadn't come yet, we're a year away from it, but we were looking forward to it because 25 years means something. And then we had our 25th anniversary. We spent that whole next year celebrating that 25th anniversary. 26 came, didn't mean very much, because 25 had significance to it. So you see, one time we looked forward to it, and the second after it came, then we looked back on it celebrating it. That's what some of us have done. The Jubilee season hasn't got here yet, but some of us have realized it's coming and we've just kind of got a hold of the Spirit a little bit early and we've already got into that season and God's beginning to move and to work. Hallelujah. And you can get in the same blessing too. Now this banner, Pastor, we ought to leave up, but we ought to make just a little correction to it. Right there where it says 98, we ought to have /99. Because the Bible tells us when the year of Jubilee is. Jubilee is the 50th year when Israel's in the land. And May the 14th, 1948 was when Israel became a nation. And May of this year became 50 years that they were in the land. But let me tell you when the Jubilee starts. Do you know the Bible gives an exact date when it starts? Look in Leviticus if you want to know. Leviticus chapter 25. And it tells you in verse 9, I believe it is, that it starts on Yom Kippur, or on the Day of Atonement. On the 10th day of Tisra, which is, according to my little calendar here that I keep track with these things, it's going to be September the 30th of this year. So you see, no, you haven't missed a Jubilee yet. It hasn't started. But if you haven't already gotten ready for it, and you've gotten things that are keeping you from getting in the spirit of it already, you might miss it when it comes. Oh my. I hope you're getting what I'm saying tonight. God's wanting to get us in the place where He can pour out the blessing and where He can command the blessing. I said where He can command the blessing. Get us in a place where He can reunite our families. Get us in a place where the oppressed can go free. Get us in a place where the debts can be canceled. Get us in a place where the restoration of spirit, the restoration that He'll restore unto you the year that the caterpillar, the cankerworm is eaten. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to be in that place where the commanded blessing flows. You see, I grew up country boy. We didn't have running water unless we run and get it. And when it rained, we had the guttering along the house and we set barrels underneath of it. We didn't have a downspout. I never did figure out why they call it downspout. I've never seen water run uphill. But we knew that the water came out of the spout. And we would set a 55-gallon drum there and catch water when it rained. And when that drum would fill up, we would take a West Virginia credit card, otherwise known as a siphon hose, and we would siphon from that 55-gallon tub into other vessels so I didn't have to go carry water for wash day. But I knew where the spout was, where the rain came out. And all God's trying to say to us is, there is a spout where the glory comes out. Get yourself underneath of that spout to get blessed by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quit looking at the tree. Quit looking at the circumstances and say, how's God going to work in my case? Believe me, if you'll stand on God's word, He'll work. He'll work. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Catch the spirit of Jubilee. September the 30th, it officially began. And the Bible says there's a commanded blessing. God's commanded you to be blessed. But you got to be in a place where He can bless you. You realize every time God got ready to do something for people, they had to do something to get themselves ready. The little widow woman in the book of Kings, where the prophet went to, and they were getting ready to sell her sons because their dad had died and left a big debt. Man of God said, you go borrow some vessels. Go borrow some vessels and borrow not a few. She had to do something. She was getting ready to receive a blessing, but she had to have something to put that blessing in. And the Bible said she sent them two boys out and said, y'all go borrow some vessels and bring them in. And the Bible said she started to pour. And when she began to pour, God multiplied and she didn't run out of oil until she ran out of vessels. Woo, hallelujah. And when she got the last one full, she said, bring me yet another vessel. And one of the boys says, Mama, we out. And the oil quit flowing. You see, God's not going to waste His blessing. But we got to bring the vessels in and say, fill it, Lord. When Jesus turned the water into wine, people had to do something before He blessed them. They had 6 water pots there. Jesus said, y'all got to fill them up. Amen. You got to fill them up. You got to fill them up, and then he turned it into wine. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, roll away the stone. People had to do something in order to be blessed. That's all I'm saying tonight is God's trying to bless us, and he's trying to get us in a place where we'll be blessed, and he's trying to get us to look at his word and quit looking at that tree and saying, I know the tree don't look too good, but the word of God is tried and true. And other people stake their life on the word of God. Tonight, Lord, I believe I can do the same. Are you with me tonight? Get yourself where God can bless you. And say, God, I'm going to look at your word and not the circumstances or the situations. I'm going to speak those things that be not as though they are. I'm going to not deny the way things exist, but I'm going to deny them their right to exist. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus over these situations. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to speak the word of God over it. I'm going to deny the right for the devil to exist in these situations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your eyes off the tree and look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his holy name. So tonight, if you would, I want you to come around the altar. And I want you to find your praying partner. Take them by the hand. And I want you to pray and agree in prayer with that praying partner. That you're going to get your eyes off of that tree. And you're going to stand on God's word. And you're going to get yourself where God can bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. And get ready for the commanded blessing. Get ready for the bondage to be broken. It's coming, people. It's coming. It's coming. As T.D. Jakes says, get ready, get ready, get ready. You know why he says, get ready, get ready, get ready? Because he knows it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Amen. I'm trying to shut up. What time is it? But it does feel good tonight, Pastor. The commanded blessing. When God says, I command a blessing. He says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. I don't know where there is, but I'm trying to get there. And that way it says in Psalms, is it 103? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that was poured upon the beard of the head and run down the beard, even Aaron's beard. He talks about the dew of Hermon. But the very last verse of that one says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. God's trying to get you to get there. And if this is not there, then we need to get there. Get there because there's where the Lord commanded the blessing. Not out somewhere else. There. I'm looking for there. There, there, there the Lord commanded. Come on, or I'll keep preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Find you a prayer partner. Take them by the hand.